You're listening to Love and War with David Harwood. This is a weekly podcast where David offers spiritual insights that are aimed to enhance your relationship with God, yourself, and others. If you are edified by what you hear, please recommend this podcast to people you love. Now, here's David.
This week I wish to speak about profound gratitude, and we'll begin by looking at a verse which I hope is familiar to everybody who is hearing this. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." No matter what happens in this life, the ultimate outcome is that there's going to be a summation of everything that has ever happened in your life, and when it is finally counted up, it is going to be seen as being like, "Oh, this turned out great." Romans 8:28, saying that all things are going to and are working together for good to those of us who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. This is speaking of ultimate outcomes. The ultimate is often seen in this life. Ultimately, everything that happens, everything that has happened, everything that will happen is going to work out for your benefit. Indeed, it's going to work out for the benefit of everybody that loves God. The ultimate is often seen in this life. There are things that are happening that speak of this ultimate outcome of everything working together for the good. When you experience or have experienced things coming together for your benefit, to your advantage, it was probably God. God has set it up. God is guiding. God is intervening in everything to work everything out for your good. Let's speak about gratitude. And the type of gratitude I wanted to speak about is not just spontaneous gratitude. I'm speaking of something different. I'm speaking about preparing an offering of gratitude. What type of insight do you have into the work of God in your life? Have you seen God's kindness, his faithfulness, and his goodness coming together at any point in your life? In Deuteronomy 8, verses 16 through 18, there is a salient word that speaks to the temptation to take credit for the prosperity which we enjoy. In the wilderness, he fed you manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do good for you in the end. Otherwise, you may say in your heart, "My power and the strength of my hand made me this wealth." But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who is giving you power to make wealth, that he may confirm his covenant which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. Consider your prosperity. Did you accomplish it? No, it really was the Lord. However, people do tend to take credit for things. Probably the most bold and foolish example of someone taking credit for their prosperity would be Nebuchadnezzar. In Daniel chapter 4, verse 30, it's written, "The king reflected and said, 'Is this not Babylon the great, which I myself have built as a royal residence by the might of my power and for the glory of my majesty?'" I want us to recognize that anyone who thinks this way in the depths of their heart is already insane. In Daniel chapter 4, it's written that Nebuchadnezzar literally lost his mind. However, what it is that he lost had already been lost. He was already crazy. "Is this not Babylon the great, which I myself have built as a royal residence by the might of my power and for the glory of my majesty?" Really, who thinks like this? This is an example, an extreme example, of a way in which many of us think. We think that way in little ways, in subtle ways. Are we taking credit for the uniqueness of our gifts and our calling? We ought not do that, rather, in recognizing that which has come together in order to bring about the result which you are now enjoying, I want you to be encouraged to be grateful. From my perspective at this point, the opposite of pride is gratitude. Gratitude is a loving expression of humility towards God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, Paul challenged the believers, "For who regards you as superior? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it?" Let's contrast the intention of embracing deliberate, profound gratitude with the world's attitude. The world's attitude is, "I have accomplished this." Perhaps Paul was meditating upon this type of thing, this verse 1 Corinthians 4, verse 7, "What do you have that you did not receive?" Perhaps he was thinking about that when he was commenting on the insanity of the world system. Romans 1, verses 21 and 22, "For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools." One of the quickest ways to becoming a fool is to take credit for that which is worked out in your life. "Even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks." Well, if they were not giving him thanks, what were they doing? They were ascribing credit to that which was not God, and from my perspective, they were probably taking the credit themselves. In Acts 14, we see that Paul spoke to pagans who wanted to worship him and Barnabas. A miracle had been done, and all of these pagans started coming out and going, "Oh, it's Zeus and Hermes. It's Zeus, that's Barnabas, and he has a spokesperson. That's Hermes, that's Paul, because look at this miracle." And Paul and Barnabas, they're saying, "What? Stop. What, are you kidding me? No, we're just people." In Acts 14, verses 16 and 17, he begins to drive home the point that there is a creator and that he is good. Paul said, "In the generations gone by, he permitted all the nations to go their own ways, and yet he did not leave himself without witness in that he did good and gave you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness." Look at what Paul said God was like. Remember, Jesus said that the rain falls upon the just and the unjust, and that this rain is coming from God. Rain being a key ingredient to the prosperity of any agrarian economy. Paul is saying, it was God that has blessed you. Look to him. He is showing himself to you through the goodness he has displayed in providing for you. Be grateful to God. One aspect of humility in the presence of God is gratitude. I'm speaking about profound gratitude. I'm speaking today about preparing a sacrifice that has to do with giving thanks to God. But I do not want to short-circuit the value of spontaneous thanks. Giving thanks to God spontaneously is wonderful. We have an example of it in Luke chapter 2, verses 36 through 38. It says, "And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years and had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, serving night and day with fastings and prayers. At that very moment she came up," and now this is me speaking, not the text, "and seeing Jesus, she had a revelation of who it is that he was. She came up and began giving thanks to God and continued to speak of him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem." A remarkable prophetic expression of reality. Salvation is here. Deliverance is here. God's going to accomplish his word. Spontaneous gratitude flowing from her lips. Another example of spontaneous gratitude, well, we can see that later in Luke chapter 17, verses 12 through 18. It is written, "As he entered a village," speaking of Jesus, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him, and they raised their voices saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So this is 10 men shouting out to Jesus, crying out for mercy. 10 men, all at the same time. I think they got his attention. When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him, and he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" Giving glory to God in this case had to do with glorifying Jesus, giving thanks to him for releasing the word that came from heaven. Hallelujah. Jesus commended this. Well, my point is that here is an example of spontaneous gratitude. God did something. Someone responded with thanksgiving. There's nothing like being immediately delivered by the word of the Lord. And in fact, may more and more of those deliverances occur all over the world, every day, all the time. Spontaneous thanks. Another example of spontaneous thanks is seen in Jesus. In John 11, verses 40 through 42, here we are, we're looking at Jesus. He's at Lazarus' tomb, and he says to Lazarus' sister, "Did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they removed the stone. Then Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but because of the people standing around, I said it so that they may believe that you sent me." He gives thanks to his Father. It's a matter of spontaneous gratitude, saying, "I know you have heard me. I know you do hear me. I know that that which I say is going to come to pass." Spontaneous gratitude. Anna at the temple, the Samaritan leper, the Messiah Jesus himself before an extraordinary work of power. Spontaneous gratitude. But today I'm not speaking about spontaneity. Rather, I am speaking of the expression of grateful praise that is the result of consideration and meditation. Here are three references from the Psalms. The first one, Psalm 35, verse 18. "I will give you thanks in the great congregation. I will praise you among a mighty throng." The man is saying, "I have determined I'm going to go someplace and I am going to give you thanks in front of people. I'm going to give you thanks. I'm going there with the express purpose of giving you thanks." Our second reference, Psalm 50, verses 14 and 15. Here's an exhortation and then a promise. "Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High." And now the promise. "Call upon me in the day of trouble. I shall rescue you and you will honor me." Someone who was bringing a sacrifice of thanksgiving was investing money, was taking time to travel, was going to the temple, was offering up an actual sacrifice. Again, forethought, profound gratitude. I have an attitude of ongoing thanksgiving that I desire to express at a certain place, at a certain time, in the specific way God has revealed. Our last verse, also from Psalm 50, here in verse 23, "He who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me, and to him who orders his way aright, I shall show the salvation of God." If we offer up a sacrifice of thanksgiving, considering the things that have worked out in our lives, commemorating a deliverance, sanctifying our prosperity, our well-being, our shalom, well, that is paving the way for future deliverances. The sacrifice specific to celebrating well-being and demonstrating gratitude was a prepared sacrifice. Now I'm going to read from Leviticus chapter 7. I'm reading a number of verses. And although the actual logistics of these verses are not necessarily, well, they're not relevant to us today because there is no temple and there are no sacrifices, and yet I think that we can get something out of it. God had provided a specific sacrifice to celebrate one's well-being and to demonstrate gratitude. And this sacrifice was prepared. It was a prepared sacrifice. It was a sacrifice that came out of meditation and recognition of the good things that have taken place in one's life and giving the credit to God. I'll be reading from Leviticus 7, verses 11 through 17, not because I'm interested in trying to get people to emulate the specifics of this sacrifice, but to show, to demonstrate, to share with us that this profound gratitude was something which needed to be prepared and then executed, then given. Leviticus 7, 11 through 17. Now this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings which shall be presented to the Lord. If he offers it by way of thanksgiving, then along with the sacrifice of thanksgiving, he shall offer unleavened cakes mixed with oil and unleavened wafers spread with oil and cakes of well-stirred fine flour mixed with oil. With the sacrifice of his peace offerings for thanksgiving, his shalom offerings, his well-being offerings, he shall present his offering with cakes of leavened bread. Of this he shall present one of every offering as a contribution to the Lord. It shall belong to the priest who sprinkles the blood of the peace offerings. Now as for the flesh of the sacrifice of his thanksgiving peace offerings, his gratitude shalom offerings, his gratitude well-being offerings, it shall be eaten on the day of his offering. He shall not leave any of it over until morning. But if the sacrifice of his offering is a votive or a free will offering, it shall be eaten on the day that he offers his sacrifice, and on the next day what is left of it may be eaten. But what is left over from the flesh of the sacrifice on the third day shall be burned with fire. Okay. So this sacrifice was something which was prepared. One needed to spend time, money, effort, bringing it to the right place and offering it up. And it was something that was immediate and for the day, or perhaps the day after. And this offering is being given to God in order to say, I recognize the good that you have done in my life. I see the well-being, the shalom in my life, and I am offering up to you a specific sacrifice of thanksgiving and peace in order to say, yes, God, you are the one who has accomplished this. Now, this type of offering is not demanded. In Psalm 54, verses 6 and 7, the psalmist said, willingly I will sacrifice to you. I will give thanks to your name, O Lord, for it is good. For he has delivered me from all trouble, and my eye has looked with satisfaction upon my enemies. As I mentioned, this type of sacrifice required thought, determination, resources, time, and effort. In order to demonstrate one's gratitude, one needed to take all of those things and put them together in order to bring this sacrifice to the temple. Again, this type of sacrifice is not demanded. People were not under an obligation to offer up sacrifices of thanks for one's well-being. However, we are encouraged to keep our vows. Thanksgiving here for a specific act of deliverance or for answered prayer can also be for a prolonged time. Psalm 52, verse 9, I will give you thanks forever. I will give you thanks forever because you have done it and I will wait on your name, for it is good in the presence of your godly ones. Now, I'm not suggesting that we vow to give thanks for specific things forever, but perhaps as a result of meditation, some serious time of thanksgiving may be determined and offered. We can rejoice because God has done something. In Psalm 118, verses 1 through 7, the psalmist wrote, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Oh, let Israel say, his loving kindness is everlasting. Oh, let the house of Aaron say, his loving kindness is everlasting. Oh, let those who fear the Lord say, his loving kindness is everlasting. From my distress, I called upon the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is for me. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore, I will look with satisfaction on those who hate me. I called. He answered." Remember, I just read this, and it says, "The Lord is for me among those who help me." Well, he is working all things together for those who love him and are seeking first his kingdom. The Lord is for me among those who help me. The Lord was for you in the circumstances that brought about blessing in your life. And so, arm yourself with the weaponry of praise. Talk to God and gratefully rehearse what happened to you from him, with him. Now, choose psalms. Deliberately think, what psalm can I offer to the Lord? Choose a song. What song can demonstrate, captures the feeling and the thought and the perspective of my gratitude to God? Tell somebody. Determine to be grateful for temporal blessings as well as eternal destiny. Psalm 57, verses 7 through 11. "My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises. Awake my glory, awake harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations, for your loving kindness is great to the heavens and your truth to the clouds. Be exalted above the heavens, O God. Let your glory be above all the earth." There's someone who is determined. I'm going to give thanks to God. I'm going to give thanks to God for the good things which he has done in my life. And also, we can determine to be grateful for eternal blessings. Certainly, that's something which we should never forget. In Hebrews 12, verses 28 and 29, the writer to the Hebrews said, "Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude. Let us demonstrate our gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. He will, like fire, consume the sacrifice of your thanksgiving." So here's a closing exhortation. I encourage you, try this. In Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7, Paul wrote, "Therefore, as you have received Messiah Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude." Let's be people who overflow with gratitude, both spontaneous gratitude and gratitude that has been prepared as a result of Holy Spirit-blessed insight. I see as to how you are working together all things for the good. Because, oh God, I do love you. I am grateful to you. I'm called according to your purpose, and I am determined to seek first your kingdom. Thank you, Lord.
We hope you enjoyed listening to Love and War with was written and presented by David Harwood. Editing is by David Harwood and Sam Iovino, who is also the producer and technical advisor for the podcast. David Harwood is the pastor of Restoration Fellowship in Glen Cove, New York, and the author of the book God's True Love. Copies of David's book can be purchased on loveofgodproject.org and on Amazon. The theme song for this podcast is Skirmish, which was written and performed by Leonard Jones. Additional episodes of Love and War can be downloaded on the Podbean app or through iTunes. If you would like more information on Love and War, Restoration Fellowship, or God's True Love, you can find it on restorationfellowshipny.com and loveofgodproject.org. You can also follow us on Facebook at Restoration Fellowship NY, Love of God Project, and Love and War DH. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to email David at loveandwar_dh@yahoo.com. As always, please remember to share Love and War and support us by leaving a positive review on iTunes and Podbean. God willing, a new episode of Love and War will be released next week.